This message is coming in very unusual times. I'm sitting here in a nearly empty sanctuary, having just spent some time with our praise and worship team, recording some music for our website and for this message to go on the website. And we were blessed to be able to get together and sing, and had a lot of fun doing it, and trust that those songs will be a blessing to those that hear them, and trusting that the word will be a blessing today too. Lesson today is coming from Romans chapter 5, the first five verses, and the title of the message is The Need for This Hour. And as we turn on the news, we're hearing things about a lot of needs that are out there. We hear about the medical personnel that are needing protective equipment and gowns and masks. We know that people are needing food, especially those that are shut in and not able to get out. We know that there is a need for vaccines and need for a lot of things related to the COVID virus that's going around. But in spite of all of those needs, there's a greater need that all of us have. First and foremost, it's the need for everyone to know Jesus. And there's a need for us as believers in this time to look beyond the needs that are being mentioned in the news and to see what the true needs are for this hour, because we have a golden opportunity in this day and time to see where the Lord is at work and to take opportunities to do something new and creative and different and be prepared for what God has in store after all of this has passed. And the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 5, I think, gives us four of what those immediate needs are for this hour that will remind us to stay focused on the Lord Jesus. And that passage of Scripture reads as follows. Paul wrote, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have also obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who was given to us." So what are these needs that we have for this hour? The first need is to make sure that we are keeping our focus on Jesus. Paul's letter in this particular chapter is reminding the believers in the city of Rome that they have a hope that's there, not just for the day and time in which they were living in, but they have a hope of future glory and eternal life. And that's the hope that we have as believers as well. We're reminded that we have a hope for today, and we have a hope for tomorrow. We have the hope for the glory that is ours because of our lives in Christ Jesus, the hope that is ours because of eternal life. And that's a hope that the world needs to hear, because there are people that are fearful, people that are anxious, people that are just plain scared, and they don't know where to turn. And their hearts are open to hearing something that is going to provide peace, that is going to provide some hope, that is going to calm their fears, and that is Jesus. And as the body of Christ, we hold on to that hope we have in Christ, and we have the opportunity to be able to share it with others. Even as we're sitting within our own homes, we can find ways to be able to be sharing that with other people. Paul wrote in those first couple verses, because we are justified by faith, because we are made right through our faith, because of Jesus Christ, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the focus. That's where we have our peace. And it's also through him that we also have obtained the introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. We stand in the grace of God because of his mercy for us and towards us in sending Jesus to be sacrificed for our sins, that we might have hope and eternal life in him. So we do have peace with God through Jesus, and through him we have that access by faith into the grace and in which we stand. And that because of that grace, we can exult in hope of the glory of God. When we keep our focus on Jesus and we're reminded of the grace that is ours, we're reminded of the peace that is ours, we're reminded of the faith that is ours, we're reminded that we are created and made for something so much more than just living day to day. And even in the midst, and especially in the midst of these crises, that we have real opportunities. There was a story from during the 4th century that there was a plague that struck the city of Caesarea, which was one of the largest metropolitan areas in the Roman Empire. And there was a panic that ensued, and people fled the city. But there was one group of people that didn't panic and didn't flee. And those were the Christians. They intentionally stayed. And Eusebius, the church historian of that period, noted that all day long, some of them, the Christians, tended to the dying and to their burial, countless numbers with no one to care for them. Others gathered together from all parts of the city, a multitude of those withered from famine, and distributed bread to them. Years later, the Roman Emperor Julian bemoaned the fact that Christians handled themselves so much better than his own pagan priests and their adherents did. He observed, when it came about that the poor were neglected and overlooked by the pagan priests, then I think of the impious Galileans. Christians observed this fact and devoted themselves to philanthropy. They support not only their poor, but ours as well. All men see that our people lack aid from us. And there are a lot of historians that believe that the Christians' behavior in that time of crisis ultimately transformed the church from something that was a fringe movement back then of just lower class people to the official religion of the Roman Empire. The things that the world sees as a problem, we as believers have to see as an opportunity. That's the need of this hour, is for us to not see COVID-19, to not see this virus, to not see everything else that's happening as a problem, but to see it as an opportunity. And we can see it because our focus is on Jesus, because we have the grace and the hope and the faith that is ours in him. So not only is there the need for this hour is to keep our focus on Jesus, but it's also for endurance. In verse 3, but not only this, we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. Paul stated that not only was he rejoicing in hope, but he was also rejoicing in his sufferings. We also exult in our tribulations, our sufferings. He wasn't exulting because they were occurring, but he was exulting because of what God was teaching him through the challenges, through the sufferings, through the tribulations. And that's where we can place our focus, know that the need for this hour is for us to be able to learn what God is teaching us through the tribulations and the trials. One person defined endurance as that ability to be independent and unyielding perseverance in the face of aggressive misfortune. That is our opportunity. We're faced with aggressive misfortune. Can't gather in groups of more than 10 people. We're confined to our homes. We're practicing staying 6 feet apart. It's aggressive, unyielding perseverance in the face of aggressive misfortune. Now is our opportunity to practice endurance in the midst of all of this that's going on and hold on to our steadfast hope, who is in Jesus Christ, to be able to remain faithful and to run with endurance. When we think about that, we think about the letter that was written to the Hebrews in chapter 12, starting in verse 1. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you do not grow weary and lose heart. It's easy to think that because we're stuck at home and we're stuck in groups of less than 10 and we're stuck being apart from people, we still have to endure. We still have to be moving forward and to continue to run the race with endurance. We just can't mark time until this is over, because we will miss out on opportunities that God has for us. So the need for this hour is not only the need for Jesus, but it's the need for endurance as well. And in addition to that, the need for Jesus, the need for endurance, and the need for character. The Apostle Paul said, we exult in our tribulations, that the tribulations bring about perseverance, and the perseverance brings about proven character. And what's going to happen is that the longer and the more we need to endure this hardship, the more it will reveal the sum of our character in Christ. It's going to start ripping away at the veneer of all of those things that have covered the challenges that we have with character, and it's going to start revealing all of those things that are raw. That word is for character means it's a proven character that's produced by testing. And in the book of 1 Peter, we are reminded in chapter 1 in verse 7, starting in verse 6 actually, "In this you greatly rejoice, even now for a little while, if necessary, that you have been stressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." That's what God is doing and has the opportunity to do in us if we are willing as individuals and as churches to let God rip away at that veneer, to test what's there and to wash away the impurity, so that the church on the other end comes out healthier and stronger because our character has been perfected by God. President Calvin Coolidge said that we do not need more knowledge, we need more character. And the 18th century author Goethe wrote that a talent is formed in stillness, a character in the world's torrents. And so he's instilling and distilling character in us right now so that we can be the church that he wants us to be during this storm, and not only after this storm as well. Oswald Chambers, in his devotional book, My Utmost for His Highest, wrote the following about this whole process of character building and perfecting holiness in the fear of God, as it says in 2 Corinthians 7:1. "I must cleanse myself from all filthiness in my flesh and my spirit until both are in harmony with the nature of God. Is the mind of my spirit in perfect agreement with the life of the Son of God in me, or am I mentally rebellious and defiant? Am I allowing the mind of Christ to be formed in me? Christ never spoke of his right to himself, but always maintained an inner vigilance to submit his spirit continually to his Father. I also have the responsibility to keep my spirit in agreement with his spirit. And when I do, Jesus gradually lifts me up to the level where he has lived, a level of perfect submission to his Father's will, where I pay no attention to anything else. Am I perfecting this kind of holiness in the fear of God? Is God having his way with me, and are people beginning to see God in my life more and more?" We have that opportunity as God is working through this crisis, that the need of this hour is for believers and for churches to be forming even more characters, so that we are the people of God that we need to be, so that when a hurting world is looking for answers, they can come and they can find them in us. And then finally, not only is the need of the hour for Jesus, the need of the hour is also for endurance, for character, and also for hope. That proven character produces hope, and that hope does not disappoint because of the love of God being poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Hope ends up being both the fuel and the byproduct of endurance. Hope makes it possible for us to endure. As we're going through, we know the hope that is ours in the glory of Christ. We know the hope that is ours in the salvation that is found in Jesus. And at the same time, the process of enduring and the godly character it produces increases our hope. So it's kind of like a circular process. The hope gives us the ability to endure, and the endurance then builds more hope. And that hope helps us to endure even more, and it continues to fuel itself and to fuel each other by making us continually reflect on not only what's happening now, but the future realities that are ours. The hope that is ours in heaven, the hope that is ours awaiting us in glory, the hope that is ours in Jesus, and the hope for a lost and hurting and dying world that is filled with anxiety, that's filled with fear, that's filled with panic, that's filled with questions about what's going to happen. How long is this going to last? Is things ever going to be the same? You know, my family members, are they going to get sick? Am I going to get sick? There are open opportunities. Even though we might be 6 feet apart and we might be locked away, there are opportunities for us to be able to find a way to share the hope that is ours in Jesus. And the challenge is for us to make sure that we are filled with that hope ourselves so that they can see that hope living in us so that we in turn can communicate to a world that Jesus is our living and our only hope. So those are the needs for this hour, keeping our focus on Jesus, enduring because of the strength that is given to us, enduring in the midst of the trials, having that endurance help to build the character that is going to help us to be one with Christ and to walk with Him, and then as a result of that, to not only let the hope fuel our endurance, but let the endurance fuel our hope as well. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the hope that is ours in Jesus Christ. And we thank you that even in these times, we have opportunities through the technology that's available to be able to share your word and to be able to share your love. We can pick up the telephone, we can send an email, we can send a letter, we can conference with people, and we can share that we have a living hope in Jesus. And Father, in these days, let the world find that believers are willing to do what is necessary and what is important to let the lost know that we truly care when things are difficult, so that they can see the living hope that is ours and they can turn their lives to Jesus Christ for hope and eternal salvation. And we thank you, Father, that we have been justified by faith and that we have eternal life through Jesus Christ. And thank you, Father, for that precious gift. And thank you, Father, for the opportunity to share it with others. To your name be honor and glory as we offer these things in prayer in the name of Christ. Amen.